Well, good morning. If you attend here on a regular basis, you're probably not used to seeing me this early in the service, but here I am nonetheless. And, you know, we're going to just change things up a little bit today. We're going to get right into the Word of God because a lot of you I've had a chance to speak to this week, and you probably, like myself, maybe have been a bit troubled. This has been quite the week, hasn't it? And so, you know, I think as we see things unfold in a way that is probably unprecedented in history, you can see every detail, you know, when we see videos of things and we get front row seats and it's played over and over again. And, you know, it's hard because we're not made and we're not designed to carry those things. A lot of soldiers that go to war, that witness horrific things, that witness death, that witness atrocities that would be unthinkable in most other places, you know, they come back, and a lot of times they have PTSD. There's great trauma that is done, and so, you know, what has been played in the media over and over again, and it's not just this week, is it? And it's interesting, if you're like me, even if I don't want to see it, for some reason, I go, you know, any if you try to go online anywhere, it's going to be right in your face, and it's going to be repeated, and it's going to be repeated and repeated. And so my hope today and my prayer today and even this week in preparation is that we would hear from God this morning. We would hear from His Word, and it would speak directly to our hearts. Because I think for a lot of us, when we see things, and we'll get into some more detail here shortly, but when we see things and when we see these events take place, you may feel anger, right? You may feel frustration. You may feel fear. You may feel a myriad of emotions. You may feel all those things at the same time. And I think what we want to do is we want to respond. We want to take action, but sometimes we don't know exactly what to do or how to go about it. And so we are starting this series this morning. We're beginning 1 Corinthians, but in light of the events of this week and even this past month, I think what I want to do is we are going to go into 1 Corinthians, but we're going to jump a little bit ahead to the end of 1 Corinthians, and I just want to minister from God's Word, if you will allow me to do that this morning. You see, a lot has been happening. In the past month, it just seems like there's been church and school shootings. This week, it almost came and just went, but we remember 9/11. You know, the horrific attack on our country, thousands of lives lost. Just a few weeks ago, a young woman, Irina Zarutska, sitting on the light rail in Charlotte, coming home from work and was stabbed 3 times in the neck and died. And then, of course, this week, as most of us have seen, Charlie Kirk, 31 years old, and was assassinated in front of his wife, children, loved ones, and pretty much all of America has seen it. And so I want us just to pause for a moment, and I want us to think about this. As you know, I was going through and I was praying, just, God, what are we seeing here? What do we do with this, right? And what I came to is this statement, is that our response to things matters, right? The way that we react, our reaction will become the next action. Does that make sense? How we choose to respond, how we react, but our response does matter. When we talk about the shootings that have taken place in churches and schools, you know, there was a reaction, immediate reaction, was school staff, teachers, and other students protected young students. They moved into action in that moment. They reacted to what was happening, and they sheltered young students. Even as we remember 9/11, we think about the tremendous displays of selfless service of love and care, even to the point of death, as firefighters and first responders and in civilians doing amazing things for the sake of others. Their response mattered. And then we come to the young woman on the light rail. And I think for me, one of the most infuriating things or the most frustrating things for me, and you have probably picked up on this as well, was the fact that there were five individuals that sat there and did absolutely nothing as this woman bled out. They responded, but their response was not okay. Their response was an inaction. And it's staggering to me. And I've talked about this before, you know, that our society has become this quick draw. We're quicker to pull our phones out and record what's happening than choosing to get involved and to do something about what's happening. And finally, Charlie Kirk, who, again, was assassinated. And for me, probably the deepest concern I've had, more than the act itself, is the response by so many people that have celebrated and cheered for this man's death. I even have family members, distant family members, that are in that boat, and it's, I want to say, like, it starts to make me angry, but then there's like it almost switches to this deep sorrow for that person. That they've come to a place where the hatred and the anger and all the stuff that they've allowed to brew for so long that they can no longer, that their basic humanity has left. And so what I want us to think about today, church, is I want us to think about our response and our responses and how we respond and the fact that they matter. You know, mentioning Charlie Kirk today, I want to be clear, this message is not about Charlie. This is about Jesus. This is about his church and the question of us being obedient to what God is calling us to do. Charlie was a Christian. He was a Christian. That means he was our brother in Christ. I've watched many of his events, and even since he passed, I went and looked at, and so many times he would preach the gospel at nearly every gathering. And I want you to hear this today, that much of what he is being criticized for or has been criticized for, the labels that have been placed on him in so many times, so many cases, it has been done because where he stood came from right here. Now, there were places where he was, you know, he had his opinions and he had his things, but understand a lot of what he shared, especially in those rallies and those meetings, came from the Word of God and was based on that. You see, he was part of the same body of Christ that we are, and he was a one piece in the mosaic that is the church. And so whether you agreed with everything he said or not, I want you to understand that in a lot of ways, he was killed for his faith or for choosing to take a stand on what the Scripture says. And so let that sink in just for a minute. Because what the enemy wants to do and what really, you know, the evil that is at work in this world right now wants to do is to silence the church. Is to silence what it means to stand on Scripture, what it means, you know, for what does marriage look like? When does life begin? When do these things? Those things aren't up for us to discuss. There's no discussion needed by because it's clear in the Word of God. And you have very eloquent people, and you have very trained people that will go out and they will try to manipulate and twist and make this fit a different narrative so that they can live in sin, so that it is comfortable. And I'm upset today. I'm upset. I'm not in a way that's, I would say, sinful, but I'm upset at myself. I'm upset at the way that I've become comfortable in sitting back and allowing people around me to speak things that are not true, to just say, well, you know, like every family gathering, we can't talk about my faith or about religion. We can't talk about these hot topics, right? Because what it'll do, it'll derail our time, and we just want to make sure we have a good conversation. And so today, we begin to lean into the book of 1 Corinthians. Today, we begin to lean in to this fact that the church has always been messy as we walk through life together. There are ups and downs, and we all come from different backgrounds, don't we? And we may even vary on some things here and there. And throughout this series, we're going to explore how God's grace in Corinth, in that new church, in the church that was facing a lot of the same adversities that we face, both external and internal, but how God's grace, it transformed that church, a divided church, a flawed people, into a unified community that was shaped by truth, love, and the resurrection hope that is only found in Christ Jesus. There truly is nothing new under the sun. And we live in a time, like I said, we live in a time when we see so much that really, again, it's an overload, isn't it? And so we just, because of technology, we see everything, both here and abroad. I'm going to give you a very brief background today. We'll do a more thorough background on 1 Corinthians next Sunday. But today, I want to just share what I believe God has for us. You know, most of us know that 1 Corinthians, it was written by Paul. The church in Corinth, it was a church that he had planted, most likely around 55 to 56 AD, and the whole purpose of it was to set straight some of the thinking and actions that were taking place in the church. As a Scottish scholar named James Moffat, he puts it this way. He says, the church was in the world as it had to be, but the world was in the church as it ought not to be. And what I want us to hear today, and what I want us, as we look at some of the things, you know, where we're at today, where we're sitting at this morning as a church, is to make sure that the world is not creeping into the church. And our responses and the things we say and how we treat one another, I think it's very important for us to take note. And so, as I know some do when they pick up a book, some of us tend to go right to the end, right, to read it. Anybody do that here? Go ahead, raise your hands. Hi, it's okay. Yeah, some people do. So we're going to do that today, not to the very end, but I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I should probably say spoiler alert. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. And in my notes here, I left it the way that it says it in my Bible, and the heading, it may be in yours as well. It says, mystery and victory. Mystery and victory. And I love those words because there's a mystery, and we're going to be told kind of the secret, if you will, and that there's victory in that. So Paul writes, he says in verse 50, he says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Here it comes. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Again, it's contrasting from those who have passed away, who have died, and those who are still living. In verse 54, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, right, that's the dead, and when the mortal, those living, puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that it is written, and here it comes, death is swallowed up in victory. You think of like, you know, whether you want to think of the ocean or whatever, Jurassic Park, whatever comes to your mind of the biggest fish thing you can imagine in this small little, you know, minnow. That's the comparison here. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. God, I thank you that you are God, regardless of what we see, regardless of what's happening. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would just make that so real to us this morning, to your church. God, that we would remember and we would realize, Lord God, that death has no victory, has no finality here. And so, God, that knowledge, that mystery being solved, that good news that is told, Lord God, should affect how we live and should affect how we respond. So, God, I pray, make these words real to us today. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see today, and kind of where we're going to keep, you know, dwelling on is this idea of our response. And the way that we respond to adversity and persecution, listen to this, reflects our faith in Christ and our hope in his victory. I can tell pretty clearly where you stand and where your source of life is and where your faith is simply by how you respond when trials come. Whether it's to ourselves or how what we see happening, the way that we respond tells us even about ourselves, doesn't it? You know, when we walk through difficult seasons of life, we see very quickly the stuff that's in our hearts, don't we? Because the reality is when, I love the illustration, I say it over and over, I'm going to say it again because I think it's great, it's that sponge. You know, you don't really know what's in that sponge. It can look clean and fine and all that stuff, but when you squeeze it, you see dirty water come out of it that you had no idea was in the depths of it. That's what happens when we go through trials. That's what happens just like this week. How we respond to what's happening tells us a lot about us and tells us a lot about those around us, doesn't it? You see, adversity and persecution are inevitable. We cannot get around it. The only way that we can get around it is by being silent about what we believe and the truth that we know. And far too often, I feel that we shrink back because we don't want to mess up the feel, right? The flow. We don't want to ruffle feathers. When we look at Scripture and we look at Jesus himself, we see that in this Scripture, he models different responses in different situations, and we're going to take a look at those in just a moment. But the big idea of this message and what I want you to hear today is that because Christ has secured the victory, I'm going to say that again, because Christ has secured the victory. Talk about a spoiler, the best spoiler ever. We know how it ends, don't we? We know. We understand that. We can read it. We've experienced it. We've seen it. But I ask, are we living a life that reflects that knowledge? But because Christ has secured the victory, our response then should reflect faith, discernment, and steadfastness. So point number one, as far as our response is this. Respond, that we should respond from a perspective of victory. The battle is already won. Are you with me? The battle's already won. And I know at times, if we just focus right here and what's in front of us and what we're going through in that moment, we can lose sight of that fact that the battle is won. It doesn't make it always easy, but that's what Paul is sharing here. That's what Paul is writing about, this mystery that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? And as he goes on, that says the sting of death is sin. You see, Jesus came to die for our what? Sin. Sin lost its hold on us. It lost its power and control on us. Do you understand that? And while we still fall from time to time, while we still make those mistakes, myself included, whatever you're facing today or whatever you're struggling with today, I want you to be reminded this morning that it does not have power over you unless you will give it that place. And if you're like me, sadly, I do that at times as well. We just do it, don't we? That sin that is just so huge, and because we've given over to it so many times over and over, but understand that the power is there, that Jesus made that possible because sin was defeated. It was destroyed. And so that sting of death, and it says the power of sin is the law. Jesus came to, the law doesn't apply to us now, does it? The law was for the old covenant. The law was there. Why? To show that we can never measure up in our own strength. It's to point out that, and it's to shine the light that there is sin there. And Jesus came to free us from the power of the law. And so when we say this phrase that death is not the end, resurrection is our hope, I want to ask you this morning, do you truly believe that? Do you truly believe that? And would someone know it by the way that you live your life? You see, our trials are temporary, church, but God's promises are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, and this is, if you ask me what probably my favorite passage is, it's this right here. It says this, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I love this. Listen to this. For this light, momentary affliction. That's going to bring perspective for someone here this morning. This light, momentary affliction. Even in our greatest moment of trial. Think about that. Light, momentary affliction can be applied to that. Now hear me out. It doesn't take away from the pain. It doesn't take away from what it feels like. But if we can just back out for a second and understand, get that perspective, that in light of eternity, this light momentary affliction, listen, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Is anybody getting this morning? Do you know what that means? Your struggle, your pain, every tear, every lost moment of sleep, all of that in Christ has purpose. And I have learned that more than ever in the last 6 months. And I find comfort in that place to know that every bit of pain, every bit of sorrow, every bit of pressure, all of that, none of it's wasted. None of it's wasted. It's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Eternal. You understand that? None of it's wasted. It's all going forward. It's all playing a part for all eternity. Verse 18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I want to challenge us this morning where we spend our time. I'm going to keep saying myself, I'm with you, trust me. It's easy. It can get caught up and we can get pulled into everything and we can doom scroll it and all those things that we just take on. And I want to challenge us this morning, make sure that we're balancing this. And when I say balance, it needs to be a far greater side of where are you at in God's word, spending time with the Lord. Because if you do not do that, that stuff that we are seeing and witnessing will become overwhelming. Right? We probably felt it this week. I had moments of it. And I finally, I had to keep coming to that place where, I just have to put my phone away and I need to go to God's word. I need to be with the Lord right now. And then I need to be reminded of truth. I need God to speak to me and God just to be with me. I just need to be with the Lord right now. Not burying our head in the sand, but just keeping our eyes on Jesus. And so when we respond to adversity, when we respond to things that, can kind of ramp us up, we don't do so with despair, but with confidence that is rooted in Christ's triumph overall, right? That's how we respond. And let me just say to you this morning and challenge us this morning, if you feel like you're not at that place or you can't respond in that moment in this way, then pause for a second if you're able to, right? Go find, pull back, find that place. That peace in your heart, right? That peace of God, you need to protect that and keep that. That's your barometer, if you will. And so we understand that we always need to respond from our perspective of victory. Number two, we need to respond with discernment and wisdom. I'm going to say this again because probably some of us need to be reminded. We need to respond with discernment and wisdom. Now, don't get me. There are sometimes immediate responses needed in the moment, and we need to do something, and we need to respond. But overall, there's a lot of bait out there. It's just inviting you. Oh, just want to say it, right? Just want to give them a piece of my mind. I just want to share the truth in a very direct way with them, right? We want to share the love of Jesus with the exclamation points and when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at the Gospels, Jesus did not respond the same way in every circumstance. There were times when Jesus was standing silent, trusting the Father's plan, when he was standing, on trial. There were other times he was engaging in confrontational speech. I love that, right? That's probably what most of us have memorized, Matthew 23, woe to you, right? But all joking aside, there's a time and a place for that, isn't there? And probably far too often we've passed those moments by, like when we need to stand and say, you know what? That's wrong, and this is why. Woe to you. And then we even see the moments where Jesus took the time to make a whip and flip some tables, yet was without sin. Right? So we see that Jesus always responded in a way that was appropriate for the situation. And we know that Jesus never did anything off the cuff or whatever. That's why, as we saw his example, he would oftentimes slip away in the morning. He was always close to the Father's heart. He was always walking in that place of communion with his Heavenly Father so that he could respond appropriately in those situations, even when they kind of showed up out of nowhere. And church, listen to me. This is why you have to be in God's word. This is why we have to carve out that time, whether it's in the morning, preferably in the morning. The reason the morning is nice is it's hopefully before everything has happened in your day. But if you can't do the morning, I understand that, but you got to continually be with the Lord. You have to make time for that so that you can respond with the discernment and wisdom that's required. You see, we as believers, we must discern when to speak boldly. We saw this with Peter and John, right, when they were on trial. They didn't back down. That was a time to speak up and to stand. We need to know the times when we are just simply to endure quietly. We carry a weight. We walk with that. And then we also need to discern when there's times that we have to move to action. Listen, our responses must be Spirit-led. Sometimes bold, sometimes silent, but always Christ-like. And I don't know if you do this, and this is a practice I'm still trying to, I would say, perfect and probably won't this side of eternity. But whenever I have to move to a response, whenever I have to move to some sort of action or to say something, even if it's literally like a couple seconds, I ask the Lord, God, give me the words to say. Holy Spirit, show me the person that's across from me right now. Not just what I see in front of me, but show me their heart. Show me where they're coming from so that I can speak in a way that is life-giving. Because even a hard truth can be life-giving, can it? Even if they spit in your face, to walk away from that conversation and to know that you were obedient. Listen, I keep talking about obedience and holiness, and that's what we're going to see as we go through 1 Corinthians. God is calling us to be people of action, to be people of obedience, to be a people that is set apart, that does not, you know, mingle with the world in the sense of we take part in those things. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. We're supposed to be light in darkness, not become darkness ourselves. We are the salt of the earth, church. We are supposed to affect the environment around us, not the other way around. And if I sense anything in my spirit today, and I believe some of you are the same, is that there is a sifting that is upon our doorstep right now. Somebody, thank you for being here with me this morning. But I'm watching people that I know, I'm watching people that would say they're professing Christians, and they're posting garbage wolves in sheep's clothing, saying things that sound eloquent, that sound like scripture, but they're not. The internet is a dangerous place, if you did not know that. And I'm not talking about the stuff that jumps out and slaps you in the face. I'm talking about that stuff that's just laced with enough lies that you believe that it's truth, but it's not. And it is a slippery slope. Church, I'm... I wish I wasn't... in the way of God. That's what I want to say. I wish God, maybe there's a better mouthpiece, but what I sense that I'm trying to articulate today, I hope that you're absorbing and I hope that you're receiving and I hope that it's going to be more than just, oh, that's great, Pastor Dell, and you leave today and just go back to whatever. I cannot tell you the sense in my spirit of that God is calling his church to purity. He's calling his church to be separated from the world, to live holy, that means separate, to no longer mingle. That's what I already said that Paul was dealing with, because the things of this world, as they're creeping into the church. And we must stand guard. We must respond with discernment and wisdom in all these situations. And lastly, we must respond in obedience and resolve. I think too many of us spend so much time saying, God, tell me what to do. God, tell me what to do. But you know what to do. You know what to say. You're just scared. I'm scared at times. But can I tell you the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced? Is in those moments where I'm just, God, I can't do this. Is when I step out and I trust the Lord. And I watch. Or sometimes it's looking back and seeing like, I can't believe what God just did there. That was God, not me. But you will never experience that if you only stand at the place of your own strength and where you end, right? God is inviting us to step into the arena of obedience and holiness. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Steadfast. Listen to this, immovable. Those words are pretty clear, aren't they? Some of the stuff I'm seeing, some people that say they're professing Christians, the lightest breeze comes up and they're gone. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We're always supposed to be moving forward. We're always supposed to be doing and abounding in what God's calling us to do. And when we're in that place, we know that all that we do, every bit, every ounce of pain and labor, it's all, none of it is in vain. It's all for God's glory. Listen, church. Adversity cannot derail God's mission in us. We have a large dog, boxer, 90 some pounds. Dr. Tom always talks about how large his head is. He's just this big dog. And it's interesting, you know, when you're training them, and he's by no means trained. Not that we don't give up hope, but they say, you know, when you're walking on a leash with them, you know, you're supposed to kind of, you want to pull to the side. You want to just move him away from something. Because if you pull back, right, he's like a horse, and he'll just lean it. He's like, oh. And he just like starts to pull like with all, and you feel the power that's there. Listen, when we hit adversity, that for us should be that feeling of this pulling back. And guess what our response should be? His name's Tiberius. His name's Ty. You should be like Ty. That's the bumper sticker that comes out of this, right? But when you feel that, you should just be like, oh, okay. And you lean in. Because we're made for that. The church is made for this. Do you understand that? The church did not grow and spread across the entire globe because everything was resistance-free and hunky-dory fine. Where is the greatest growth of the church happening today? In the places where the greatest persecution is. Now, I'm not saying, because I'm not there either, I'm not saying, yes, Lord, woo, we get resistance and persecution. However, my hope, and I know for a fact that God is in this, and God has built his church to withstand. And in fact, to grow and to move forward amidst adversity. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to who, church? Jesus. Looking to Jesus. not at the personality on the internet or on TV, not on anything else, not on how big our problem is, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, listen, endured a cross. He never lost sight of the end. He never lost sight of the eternal weight of what he was doing. And in between there and where he was going to be was a cross that he suffered and died on, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus knows right where we are. He's experienced it. And he's had victory. And so keep serving, keep trusting, keep working, knowing it is never, ever in vain. As we wrap this message this morning, and we're going to move to just another time, just a time of worship. Church, this is our wake-up call. And seeing what we're seeing, and like I said, I don't know the other stories of the young lady that was stabbed on the train. I don't know her background or where she was with the Lord, but I know where Charlie Kirk was. And a lot of people don't want to say it, but he was killed. They wanted to silence him. And again, I want you to hear what I'm saying, because if you have any issue with Charlie, I understand there were certain things, maybe political things. I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is as much of his platform that was built on the Bible and that what this says. And he was out there in the places that few of us dare to go, dialoguing, interacting, and to hear what so many people are saying that he was weaponizing, he was promoting all this stuff, that it's hate speech. It's moving that direction. It's moving that direction. Where we're only going to be able to preach parts of the Bible, or that's what they're going to try to tell us. It's not happening here. We have a creator, church. He created us. He designed us. He built us, and he made us in such a way, and he knows what's best, and he's laid it out here for us how we're supposed to live, and the world is still set against that. But always remember that adversity provides an opportunity for a response that demonstrates the substance of our faith. You understand that? And I want you to remember that when adversity comes, or when struggles come, or when things come at us, even now in the wake of all this, everybody's watching, like, you know, well, what's the response going to be? What's the church going to do? People are watching us. They want to see. And what is in us will come out. Remember Jesus' example. He sometimes confronted with courage, other times endured with silence. But as we walk through all of this, remember that Christ has won the victory. So we can respond in a way with confidence, wisdom, and perseverance. And so I ask you this morning, church, what will your response be? The world is watching. And I don't think this is the end, this is the last incident that we're going to see. Will we shirk back in fear, or will we press on because we know that God has called us to do so? Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thank you for your word, Lord God. I thank you for the example, Jesus, that you set for us as we are here in this world, Lord God. And God, you did not design us, Lord God, to just pile up into a place and board up the windows and the doors and just hunker down, Lord God. You have built us to be in the world and to endure those things, to be a light and to be an example, and to point to you, Lord God, as the one who is truly Lord over all. God, I pray for you. I just ask for forgiveness, Lord God, where we have not leaned in more, where we have not proclaimed truth, Lord God, where we have not been the light, Lord, that you've called us to be. God, I thank you that there is forgiveness for that. So, God, I pray that you would, God, meet us where we are. Lord, those who are unsettled today, those who are uncertain, Lord God, of the future, God, I pray that we would be reminded, Lord, God, that you are sovereign, that you are Lord over all, that nothing catches you by surprise. God, as these images, Lord, flood in of the things that have happened, Lord God, we're reminded, Lord, just of our need for you, that only you can save, Lord God. And God, as there is a response, as things ramp up, Lord God, I pray, because I know that there will be good-intentioned people. And God, I just pray that we will continually be in your word and know, Lord God, that our response and what we're doing, Lord, is according to your word, according to the time, Lord, that we're in. And so, God, I pray that you would make clear exactly what we should do or say. I would just ask that you keep your heads bowed for just a moment, just reflecting on what was shared. And I just want to give an opportunity. If you're here in this place this morning and you have yet to truly give your life to the Lord, that you have yet to ask him to come into your life, not just to save you, but to truly be Lord. If you have not done that, if you have not made that profession of faith, I would ask that you would consider that this morning. If you're in this place and you feel that you have not done that, that you've never made that profession that Jesus came to earth, that he walked this earth fully God, fully man, that he went to the cross, that he died, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day and now sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. If you've not made that profession before, I would ask right now, as every head's bowed, if you would raise your hand and let today be the day. As we think about the images of Charlie Kirk as he breathed his last, but he did so knowing that he was going to be seeing his Savior in the next breath, in the next moment. I'd ask that you all stand. And we're going to move into, again, a time of worship. And if that was you, if you prayed that prayer, or if maybe you're just not fully certain, I've asked Pastor Santiago. He's standing off to your right, my left, in the alcove over there. And if you would, if you, during these next couple songs, if you want to just talk to him, if you want to pray with him, if you prayed that prayer, he's available, and I would just love for you, don't let another day go by if you're not certain. That's what I would ask, okay? All right, well, let's worship and lift our voices together.